I want you to open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to look at that passage on our way to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to talk for a few moments this morning about a generous Christian and what a generous Christian looks like. I believe we have that laid out for us in the text of these two chapters in 2 Corinthians. But let's get our attention focused on the text here before us. On his third missionary journey, the Apostle Paul encouraged the churches of Galatia, Macedonia, and Achaia to make a collection of funds to take back to the poor saints in Jerusalem. The two letters that we have in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, were both written on this journey about a year apart from each other, and they both contain instructions concerning this collection. Just a few verses in 1 Corinthians, that's in chapter 16, verses 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul told them how to take this up and to make sure that it was ready when he came through. We'll read the text now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. And so there's the instructions in 1 Corinthians regarding how this is to be taken up. And that's a passage that we use still today in how we collect our funds as a local church. 2 Corinthians, in this letter, the Apostle Paul expresses concern that after a year's time, they're not going to be ready with this collection. He has used their readiness to participate as an example to the churches of Macedonia, which we'll see in just a moment, moved them, motivated them to have a collection that was very sacrificial. It was more than they could really afford to give. Men from these churches are going to be traveling with Paul to Corinth, and if they get to Corinth and find out that these well-to-do Corinthians don't have a collection gathered, then they're going to be embarrassed. Paul is going to be embarrassed, and Paul wants to avoid that whole situation. And so we have, in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the most concentrated teaching we have in the New Testament on the subject of giving. It's in these chapters that we have somewhat of a portrait of a generous Christian. And that's how I want to approach the text and look at these chapters. I want to go through, and I want to pull out, I want us to notice some of the characteristics of a generous Christian. Number one, a generous Christian is one who has first given themselves to God. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's read verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I want to pause right there. Paul says that they gave beyond their ability. Their giving was more than what Paul believed they should have been able to give. It was a great sacrifice, and it appears from verse 4 that Paul doesn't want to receive it, and so the Macedonians have to beg, they have to implore, yes, please take this collection, take this amount of money. And Paul is believing that it's more than they can afford to give. How were they willing to give so generously out of their poverty? And that's verse 2 mentions their deep poverty. How did such a generous gift come out of deep poverty? Verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. they had given themselves to the Lord. And so it was only natural that they gave of this contribution, that they gave of themselves financially. They had taken that first step of discipleship. They had denied themselves and taken up their cross and followed Jesus. And in doing that, they realized that what money they did have really didn't belong to them. It belonged to the Lord. And if it was God's will that this money be given to help needy saints in other places, they freely gave. And there's a good lesson to learn from this. There's not a lot that you and I can do as Christians until we first give ourselves to the Lord. And if someone has truly given themselves to the Lord, then everything else falls into place. If you think about it, becoming a Christian makes life very easy in this standpoint. There are a lot of decisions that we don't have to trouble ourselves over. If we have first given ourselves to the Lord, decisions have already been made. Like, it's the Lord's Day morning. I wonder what I'm going to do with myself today. That decision was made when we became a Christian. We're going to assemble with the saints. We're going to worship. Other decisions like, am I going to give of my means? All that is taken care of when we have given ourselves to the Lord. So a generous Christian, number one, the text tells us, is someone who has given themselves to the Lord. But there's more. A generous Christian is one who has a willing mind. Their mindset is such that they are ready and they are willing to give. Look down at verse 12. Chapter 8 and verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. When we think about giving, a lot of times our focus is on the amount that is given. When we write out the check that we put into the plate, we write that out. We write out the amount. We even put it in the registry. There's the amount. We know the amount. That's all added up. And you know what? We look at the amount. We focus on the amount. The point that Paul is making here is that God is looking at the intent. God is looking at the intent. That is the focus of God. And with that in mind, we need to have a willingness to give. In chapter 9, in verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I find it interesting that in the Old Testament, we had tithing. And tithing was not just giving to the Lord. Tithing was giving 10%. And so that amount was specified. When we come to the New Testament, no amount is specified. We read in 1 Corinthians 16 that we are to give as we have prospered, but we're not told a percentage. And here, the amount that we are to give is as we purpose in our heart. Well, if we've given our heart to God and we have a willing mind, if there's a willingness to give, that's going to be reflected in the amount that is given. So the amount is not specified. What God wants is the heart. A generous Christian is one who has a willing mind. A willing Christian is one who gives not because they think they have to, but because they want to. But this willingness, this readiness, this intention, it has to result in action. If we can back up from our text, let's go back to chapter 8, 2 Corinthians 8. We read verse 12. Let's back up to verse 8 and let's catch up with verse 12. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, then it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. You've got that willing mind? Do it. Get that collection ready. And we're not looking at the amount. We're looking at something that has been given. If there is first that willing mind. A generous Christian is one who has a willing mind. They don't have to have their arm twisted to give. They are ready and willing to give. Here's something else this chapter teaches us about generosity. The generous Christian realizes that he is not alone in his giving. It was not up to the church in Corinth to relieve all the needy saints in Jerusalem by themselves. Paul didn't come to Corinth and say, you know what, you all are better off than these other churches I've been to. I want you all to bear the burden of this responsibility yourselves. That's not what he said. The opportunity was given to everyone. And so there's a reminder of that in this text. Verses 13 and 14. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be an equality. The churches in Galatia and the churches in Macedonia were also involved in this collection. And Paul wasn't keeping tabs of which church was giving the most. But they were all involved in this. A task like this can be overwhelming if we think that it has to be done by us alone. But if we realize that there are others who are involved, the burden is lifted. And we're relieved at the same time we are relieving others. I want to speak for just a moment here about the importance of Christians being in a local church. I've heard over the last several years, and maybe you've heard as well, of people having the idea of house church. I think especially with COVID going on, people didn't assemble, and some people got used to that. And now that we're past COVID and we're assembling again, there are some Christians that have decided, nope, worshiping at home is working just fine with us. Number one, that's not the way God has called us to be. God has called for Christians in a given location to assemble together, to worship together. Think about the things that we're able to accomplish because we are assembled together and because we make a collection together. The number of preachers that we help to support in other places. The upkeep of this building that is done. The benevolent help that we're able to do when that is necessary. The list could go on and on. The literature that is bought. The website that is maintained so that the gospel is there for anyone to see that would come and to visit that website, our YouTube channel. Imagine each of us as individual families having to take on a financial responsibility like that. It'd be impossible. But because we are worshiping together and because we are sharing that burden, we are able as a local church to be involved in these good things. So churches do need to have those numbers. They do need to grow because there's a benefit from that. Christians, a generous Christian realizes that he's not alone, doesn't feel that pressure and that burden on him. But I would say this, we are not alone. We're not the only ones who care. But if we were, that would be all the more reason not to give up on giving. Even if we were all alone, even if we were the only Christians, it would be important that we continue to be generous. Let's consider another point from this text. The generous Christian is contagious. Now I realize after the comments I made a little while ago, there's one sense in which we don't want to be contagious. And we don't want to help someone else to get sick. But when it comes to setting a good example and being a good influence, we want to be contagious. We want to be involved in things in such a way that others see it and others want to follow that example, and others are encouraged to do that. If you look in chapter 9, let's look at verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you, for I know of your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia, that's the area where Corinth was at, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. It's one of the reasons Paul's concerned about this. I've used your example as a way of encouraging these churches in Macedonia. They're living in poverty. They gave. Now, when they show up and they realize you haven't given and you're not ready with this, they're going to be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed. I'm going to be ashamed. Get that gift ready, because I'm on my way. That's what chapters 8 and 9 really are about. But verse 2 says, your zeal has stirred up the majority. Their zeal to be involved in this work stirred up Christians in all of these areas. And they got involved as well. And we know that Christians are told to be examples to follow and to be positive examples to those around about them. The Corinthians were good examples to the Macedonians in giving. Well, the Macedonians were good examples to the Corinthians in other things. If we could turn over to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Who's in Achaia? The Corinthians are in Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. You're already an example of evangelism, and that example of yours has already spread to Corinth, and they know about it in chapter 4 and verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Now, do you think the Corinthians could have used a lesson on brotherly love? Yes. If you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, they could have used that. Paul gives them a whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about love. Well, up the road in Thessalonica, they've got that down pat. But when it came to giving, the church in Corinth was setting a good example. And it was an example that others were following. A generous Christian is a double blessing. Not only is he giving to help those who are in need, but he's also inspiring others to do the same, which means that there's more help to those who are in need. But I do want to make this observation. Notice that it is Paul who is bragging about their generosity. They're not bragging about themselves. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So yes, a generous Christian can be very contagious, but the best example is going to be set by the one who quietly goes about doing their thing. Quietly goes about doing their good work of helping others. One more thing I want us to consider from these chapters. A generous Christian is one who acts. A generous Christian is one who actually responds to a need. In chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 12. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. Notice they got involved, they're being generous, and it is going to supply the needs of the saints. Appeals are made to us from time to time to give to different causes or different charities. This time of year, you walk into a busy business place, and you've got a bell ringing in front of a red kettle. I wouldn't really want that job. I think you'd become tone deaf after a while. It could be that. It could be someone who's standing at the roadside with a sign up, cardboard sign. It could be different organizations that are reaching out to you in the mail or on email, on the phone. We have to be good stewards of the blessings that God has given us. And we need to do due diligence. We need to investigate and make sure that we are giving to worthwhile causes. And we're not giving to those who would actually be undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's easy when we do give to someone and we find out that they're not legitimate. It's easy to become cynical and to become jaded so that we don't want to give anymore. And we have to guard against that. We are to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. While we do need to be careful, I believe that the default setting, if you'll allow me to use that phrase, the default setting for us as Christians is to be ready and willing to help those who are in need, those who are in need, especially our fellow Christians. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith, Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 10. In James chapter 2, we read of faith and works. I want to read a few verses here. James 2 verses 14 through 16. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Here's an example. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? A generous Christian realizes that needs aren't met until something is actually done to help. Good intentions don't meet needs until they are put into action. And so generous Christians are those Christians that get involved and do what they can to help those who are in need. Are you and I generous Christians? Going back to our text one more time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we were reading there in verses 10 through 12 about the fact that thanksgiving was being offered up to God because of their generosity. I'll read verse 12 again. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. A generous Christian is going to glorify God. A generous Christian is going to cause those who receive that and benefit from it to give thanksgiving to God and to give glory to God. And so in the end, God is glorified, and that really should be the desire of all of us as Christians. We have been blessed by God. Even the poorest of the poor in this nation have a lot compared to people across the world. And when we look at it from that perspective, we are truly blessed. And we need to be generous. We need to be generous. Now, the Corinthians got a lot of things wrong. We can go through the book of 1 Corinthians and Paul lays it out. They're doing this wrong, they're doing this wrong, they're doing this wrong. But here's something they got right. They wanted to be generous. And in that, we need to follow their example. Are you and I generous Christians? Let's think about that. And let's use this text, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, as the means of us examining ourselves and seeing if we really are generous Christians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the many physical blessings that you shower upon us. That we truly have more than we need. We are thankful for your great care that you have for us. We pray that you would help us to look to the example of your Son, who became poor so we could become rich spiritually, and that we would be generous, and that we would be willing to help those around us who are in need. Help us to follow the example of the Corinthians, the example of your Son, and this most noble characteristic that needs to be in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.